ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn to Judges chapter 14 as we continue our study through the book of Judges. And we're looking at a very interesting judge in Israel. His name is Samson. And if you remember from our last study, God called Samson before he was even born, while he was still in the womb. We saw that in Judges 13, verses 3 through 5, where we were told this: "And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.'" And what we see here is all this potential for this man, Samson, all that he was going to do for the Lord. His responsibility was to walk accordingly. And as he did, he would see God not only work in him, but work through him. And then it says in verse 5, "And he would begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And for me, it's a very interesting statement, because we don't see that mentioned of any of the other judges. Not that they began to deliver Israel. We read of the other judges that they delivered the children of Israel from the bondage that they were in by the hands of the enemy, but not with Samson. I'll give you a couple examples to show you what I mean with these other judges, and I'll start with the standard, what God was going to do with these judges. And we see that in Judges 2, verse 18, where we're told, "And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them." That was the standard for the judges. They were going to deliver the children of Israel from the bondage that they were in. And yes, they were in that bondage because of their sin, but they repented. And God raised up a judge to deliver them. And we see it in the book of Judges. We see this played out in Judges 3, verses 9 through 11. "When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim, so the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died." Delivered them. Judges 3, verse 15. "But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord," again, they're in bondage, "the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man," in verses 29 and 30. "And at that time they killed about 10,000 men of Moab, all stout men of valor, not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. We see in Judges 3:31, another judge that delivered the children of Israel from the bondage that they were in. "After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." The story even of Deborah in Judges 4, verses 23 and 24. "So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan." Now I'll give you just one more in Judges 8:28. Gideon: "Thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so they lifted their hand no more, and the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon." And yet here with Samson, we're told he didn't deliver the children of Israel from the bondage that they were in under the hands of the Philistines, but he began to deliver them. You think, well, why? I mean, what's going on here? Well, I think the reason he didn't complete the task, the reason is really simple. He lived a carnal life. God could not use him to his full potential. God wanted to, just like he wants to use all of us. But because of his carnality, and we're going to see it's not, I mean, not a good thing here. He couldn't be used to the fullest. He fizzled out. Samson came into this world with great, great potential. I think all of us do. But his pride, recklessness, and lust made him his worst enemy, his own worst enemy. And I think it's an important lesson for us to learn as well. We're going to look at in our study this morning a topic called no respect. And I know you're kind of wondering, how is that going to fit in with what we're going to be reading here in Judges 14? But I think you're going to see that the downward spiral of Samson, and we're going to really focus again on that next week as we look at Samson. I've titled the message next week, Down, 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 because that's exactly what's happening with him. But think about all that's going on in our country today. Do we see a lack of respect for people? Absolutely. I mean, if I did a third of the things, or if I even did one thing like people are doing today, my Italian mama, back of the head slap, man. She would put me in my place. And I have to admit, you know, my parents were not Christians when I was raised. But they instilled in me respect for people. And when I see someone, it could be a man or a woman, coming in and they're going to enter a doorway, I open the door for them. And they're shocked by it. They shouldn't be. That should be the polite thing to do. It should be a natural thing to do. It shouldn't be something outrageous. But we've lost respect for people, and we're going to see how that all plays out, because there are some good reasons why there is no respect. Actually, there's one good reason, and we'll see that this morning. I've kind of broken these verses down into 3 points, and again, they're in your bulletin. And the first one is no respect for God in Judges 14, verses 1 and 2. And then that leads to no respect for parents in Judges 14, again, verses 2 and 3. And God is still working in spite of us, the last point, in Judges 14:4. So with that as our introduction, let's begin reading in Judges chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, and see what the Lord has for us this morning as we study his word and we look at this judge, Samson. We're told, now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Now, I've, again, titled these verses that we read, these first two verses, No Respect for God. And you're going to see why in a minute here. First of all, the city of Timnah was located about 4 miles into Philistine country. So what is Samson doing? Samson's going into the enemy's camp. This is the enemy. This is the people that have him in bondage. And he's going down there fraternizing with them or whatever. He went down to Timnah. And when he's going down, it's not speaking of just going to this city, Timnah. I think it's speaking of his walk with the Lord. That as he's doing these things that God didn't want him to do, he's moving farther and farther and farther away from God. Instead of going up, he's going down. He's going into the camp of the enemy. And anytime you walk into the camp of the enemy, guys, the enemy will be more than happy to tempt you. And that's what we're seeing here. If he didn't go down to Timnah, there wouldn't be a problem like he's having right now. Here he sees a beautiful woman, and she catches his eye. Now, let's think about this for a minute. You know, I'm not a great fisherman. I don't even know if you can call me a fisherman. You can call me a caster because I cast my line. I don't necessarily catch fish. But you would not put a lemon on your line to try and catch a fish, would you? No, that would be the most ridiculous thing in the world. You get a big, juicy worm. You put it on in such a way that the fish can't see the hook. And the worm catches the fish's eye, right? That's a great-looking worm. Now, I'm not saying women are worms. Please, do not email me. Do not call me on the phone. Do not send me letters. It's just a point, okay? There are women out there that will dress themselves up, adorn themselves with all these things, makeup and outfits for a reason to catch someone. And I think that's what this woman was doing here. I don't think she was just, you know, walking around in her bathrobe, you know, down to the ground with fuzzy slippers on and her hair all messed up. She was dressed to the hilt and she was out in the streets. And Samson sees her. Keep in mind, immorality was big in these pagan cultures, especially in Timnah. And so she's trying to entice someone here. And it stimulated the interest of Samson. It aroused his flesh so much that he wants to marry her. He wants to marry this woman that caught his eye. I don't know if he knows anything about her, except she's hot. Right? That's it. But wait a minute. We were told back in Judges 13:25 that the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon Samson at Mahanaim between Zorah and Eshtaol. So the Spirit of God is empowering him for the work that he was to do. What's going on here? The Holy Spirit doesn't make us into robots. The Holy Spirit will show us what we need to do, but then we have to obey. And I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us and leads us. We have to be paying attention because he is not going to force us to do things. And we have to walk by faith, obey the Lord, or we're going to quench the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I think that's what we see here with Samson. I think that's what's beginning to happen in his life. He's refused to listen to the Lord. He's beginning to quench the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. And in the end, in fact, in Judges 16:20, Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Wow, you read that and go, oh my gosh, how did you not know? Here's the reason. It's possible to keep moving farther and farther away from the Lord. And you move so far away, you don't even realize how far you've gone. And I'm not saying that we as Christians can lose our salvation or the Holy Spirit's going to leave us. What I'm saying is we can hinder the work of God that God wants to do in our lives. And God will let us go. Again, fishing. Again, I'm not an expert, but from what I understand, you're reeling in a fish, right? And he's fighting and fighting. And what do? He doesn't want to come in. You let him go for a little bit. You release the line. There he goes. Woo! He's swimming out there. And then what? Then you start bringing him back again. And you're just going to tire him out till he finally gives up. I think God does that with us. You want to go and do that? Fine, go. Have fun. But I've warned you, there's dangers out there. And what happens to us? Oh, then we get so tired. Well, how could I do this? And God says, come on back. And he's that gracious with us. But for Samson, it's over and over and over again. And he doesn't know that the Lord is going to depart from him until he's captured by the Philistines. And in his death, it says he killed more Philistines than in his life. Wow. He missed it. Now, again, I don't think beauty is the issue here. Let's face it. We were attracted to our spouse, right? I mean, we didn't go, wow, she is really ugly. I think I'm going to marry her. No, we were attracted to our spouse. That is the first thing, right? But if that's all it is, and that's a Hollywood type of love, that's an erotic love, if that's all it is, then what's going to happen? I mean, Julie can honestly tell you, I do not look like I did when she married me, when I was 20 years old. I look a lot different now. But our relationship is not built on the outward features anymore. It's built on a relationship that we have been building for 41 years. That's what the world's missing. For Samson, all he saw was that beauty in a place he shouldn't have been. And he got hooked. And here's the thing. He didn't respect the Lord because he's not obeying what the Lord had told him. You see, as we respect the Lord, there should be obedience to him, right? That just makes sense. Lord says, don't do this. No, I love you, Lord. I respect you. And then we do it anyway. Well, that's not respecting him. How did Samson disrespect the Lord? Well, he should have never been in the camp of the enemy. You never go into the camp of the enemy like that. I mean, in fact, the Lord warned them before they even entered the promised land. In Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33, you shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. You go down and play with fire, you're going to get burned. Don't make alliances with the enemy. Don't befriend them. Don't dwell among them. Now, people get upset by that, but the reason God is telling them and us not to dwell with them is pretty simple. They're going to turn your heart from the Lord. You're going to serve their gods, and it's going to be a snare to you. It's like a good-looking worm. You're going to get hooked. Don't do it. Again, in Exodus 34, verses 12 through 16, long before they entered the land, we're told, take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, for you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifices to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons. And his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. It's pretty straightforward. God's calling for the children of Israel to separate themselves from the Canaanites. Don't follow in their religious practices of worship, and many of them involve sexual activity. Don't become close friends with them, or they're going to bring you down. Don't marry them, or you're going to fail. And again, you know, people go, well, that's really harsh. But when you understand the corruption, the evil, the wickedness of these people, that the enticement was going to be too much for the children of Israel, then you understand why God warned them. They would take a bite, they would be hooked. You know, I've said this so many times before, as Christians, we are to be in this world. Absolutely. We don't isolate ourselves in some island or some Christian community. We're in this world. But we're not to let the world in us. And it's a boat. A boat functions in the water. It has to. A boat sitting on a trailer is useless, right? You put it in the water, you start the engine, you move. We as Christians go out into that world, and we move. But as soon as water starts getting into the boat sinks. And as soon as water or the world gets into our lives, we begin to sink. And that's just what the enemy has done with the church. It has brought the world into the church, and the church is sinking. It doesn't know right from wrong anymore. It doesn't understand what God wants, or it negates what God wants. We got to be careful. Samson knew he was not to marry outside the children of Israel, especially the Philistines. They were a perennial enemy to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 7, verses 3 through 4. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. And what does Samson do? Mom, Dad, get her for me. I want her. Get her for me. He demands that his parents get this woman for him as a wife. I think Samson let the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life control his life instead of the Spirit of God. You think, well, how does that even apply to us today? Well, you know, I kind of touched on it, but I think it's important to drive this point home. We are not to hang around the enemy or the camp of those who are not saved. In other words, don't go looking around for something that you should not be looking for. It's not that we're not to speak with sinners. Of course we are. We're to go to sinners, share our faith with them. Jesus went and ministered to them, right? He didn't condone their sin or join in, but he brought them to God. But we have to be careful and not go after the things that God has warned us not to go after. And we're not to date or marry an unbeliever. I know that's not a popular thing for me to say. But it's what God has said. Verses I'm sure you're familiar with. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, again, this is not only speaking of marriage, it's speaking of partnerships and business relationships as well. But the key is, the Lord says, come out from among them. Don't go dwelling with them. Don't go fellowshipping with them. And they can't be your best friend. Why? Because you will be unequally yoked. And I realize some get angry. But that's just what God said. And we'll see with Samson, when you start rebelling against God, when you start disobeying him, it kind of just spirals and it gets more. Well, I'm okay with this. What about this? There are consequences. And think about it. If you're dating or marrying an unbeliever, you have two people moving in the opposite direction. One towards God, the other away from God. And it usually happens not when they're dating. It usually happens after you're married. You know, you got an unbeliever and a believer. And when you're dating, the unbeliever will do anything. They'll go to church. They'll do whatever you want to do. But after you're married, things change. Paul talks about it's like having two animals yoked together that are unequal. An ox and a donkey, let's say. How is that going to work? You got an ox and a donkey. They're not going to be able to pull the same. They may go in opposite directions. And that's not a good thing. What we are seeing here in the life of Samson is that he has no respect for God. And this is really obvious. And we'll see it as we continue on. You know, when Samson is fighting against the Philistines, you think, oh, good job, Samson. Understand why he's fighting against the Philistines. They did something to him. They hurt his feelings. They made him mad. It wasn't for the honor of God or the glory of God or to help the children of Israel. He was a one-man show. I don't even think he had any friends in Israel. He never joined with the children of Israel to fight against the Philistines. It was always Samson. He was the only one. What was going on in his life? Was he so self-centered that no one wanted to be around him? Even in this marriage, there are no children of Israel coming to his marriage. Does anyone find that strange? They end up getting Philistines to come and be like his best men because there's no children of Israel. I think Samson, for a large part of his life, when he was younger, was a rebel. And I don't know if his parents, what they tried to do, but boy, he's in trouble here. Let me share this with you, and it'll lead to our next point. We're told this: I was raised during a time when parents taught their children to be respectful. I was taught how to say yes, sir, or no, sir, and to respect what other people had. I was taught that the house of God, no matter what religion or race it belonged to, was God's house and grounds it, and that you respected and honored it. If I ever talked back to my parents and disrespected them, as I see some children do today, I would not be able to sit down for a week because they would have taken me back and put the rod of punishment on the place that God put on mankind to receive the punishment. I was never slapped in the face or beaten on the arms or legs until they bled, but punishment was placed where it was intended to be placed. Part of our problems in our nation today is founded in the lack of respect for God, parents, authority, and others. We have a selfish society of what can I get out of this instead of what can I do for others. The problem that we see is that people have no fear of God because they don't know who he is. They only see a building and not the one that occupies the building. America may be known as a Christian nation, but that doesn't mean that all the people of America are Christians and fear God. If people truly feared and respected God, we would not see the things that we are seeing happening in our nation. People would not be killing people, burning other people's property, stealing other people's things, or disrespecting and belittling others. If people followed after God, they would be working together to better others. Loving all people, respecting authority, being in God's house, worshiping Him, and preparing their life for the life after this earth called eternity.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.